Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Start here.
I am very proud to tell people that I am Salvadoran. I am also a Nebraskan. I enjoy listening to country music. I like going to Casey's General Store. I like taking long drives in the middle of rural Nebraska.
People within the company, they named this area the Dry Run Landfill, which came from the name of the creek, the same creek that flowed into Wilbur Tennant's property, the same creek that these cows seem to be dying by. Now, ain't that some shit?
I protested gay marriage at Chick-fil-A. Like,
that's layered.
It's very. And it's something that I feel like a lot of Christian kids like grow up with, like gay Christian kids, like, we don't know, like, we obviously learn to hate ourselves because, like, That's all we hear at church.
On the way today, we'll sample these three podcasts, Code Switch, Dark History, and Gay Shorts. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Tripp Eldridge. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here Blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us an Apple Podcast. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and curation, writing, and producing from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. Only once has Apple Podcast recognized a single podcast as Podcast of the Year, and it was done in 2020 and awarded to this NPR podcast, Code Switch. Code Switch has been a leader in dissecting race, identity, and culture for 7 years, reaching listeners all over the world. And over the summer, following the global reckoning of racial injustice, the show skyrocketed to the top of the Apple Podcast charts. In each episode, co-hosts Shireen Marisol Meraji and Gene Demby explore the subject of race head-on and how it impacts every part of society, from politics and pop culture to history, sports, and everything in between. Check out this sample of Code Switch. This episode explores the common question many people of color get from white people trying to understand what their racial or ethnic makeup is. The question is,
where do you come from? Here's how Caesar answers.
I am very proud to tell people that I am Salvadoran. I am also a Nebraskan. I enjoy listening to country music. I like going to Casey's General Store. I like taking long drives in the middle of rural Nebraska. I come from a small country, and I come from a small town.
And Caesar, he's the kind of person who really loves to just talk to people.
I'm a very open book. I also like educating people. I like telling people about things that they might not know.
It's probably why he joined the debate team in high school and then the speech team in college at the University of Nebraska, Omaha. Caesar's former speech coach, Cameron Logsdon, says Caesar definitely schooled some other kids on the speech team.
You stood out right away as somebody that was probably ahead of some of the other students, and maybe a little bit aware that you were ahead of some of the other students.
So I was very conceited.
I won't say conceited, but you didn't hold back when you were ready to argue with somebody. Fortunately, I usually agreed with whatever opinion you were bringing to the table, so I didn't get too much in your way.
Doing the speech team, it becomes a big part of Caesar's life. There's several hours of practice every week, weekend-long tournaments for most of the school year. And these people, his teammates and Cam, they're becoming like his family because they're spending so much time together in cars, in practice, eating meals together, sharing the stresses and joys of life. It's another part of Caesar's Where We Come From story. That's because speech team was the safe place for Caesar, where he could express himself about the stuff he dealt with growing up in Nebraska, like being a person of color in his hometown.
I grew up in a very racist town. I grew up in Fremont, Nebraska, which in the early 2010s made a bunch of news because they had an ordinance saying that landlords cannot rent property to undocumented immigrants. So I remember growing up, taking grocery store trips with my parents. You get looks, you get people that say things. And so attending college at the big city, right? Omaha's the big city, right? But I mean, to me, Omaha was the big city. And taking a Intro to Latin America class, while at the same time joining a speech team, I thought, you know, this is an opportunity for me to get to know myself better and maybe to talk about something that I never got the chance to talk to people about.
So Caesar's doing speech, he's going to class, he also gets a job. On top of all of those things, he starts doing some immigration activism on campus. He advocates for folks with DACA, even though he himself isn't a DACA recipient.
So I did a lot of advocacy, both directly with our local congressman and at UNO while I was studying at UNO.
From NPR, that's a sample of Code Switch. For fearless conversations about race, check out Code Switch on the Start Here podcast collection at wvxu.org/starthere. If you're into true crime, you may have heard of this new chart-topping podcaster. She's Bailey Sarin, and she's a professional makeup artist and true crime connoisseur. Bailey is taking her expertise from her popular YouTube series, Murder, Mystery, and Makeup, and expanding into a podcast called Dark History. Here's a sample of Dark History about the DuPont chemical scandal and how it's covering up poison against all and an unlikely lawsuit that exposes everything. In this clip, Bailey talks about the importance DuPont was to the community, and in particular, how DuPont impacted the life of Wilbur Tennant and his family around the DuPont factory.
DuPont wasn't just the biggest company in their town. It was the wealthiest, too. Anyone and everyone who lived in town worked for DuPont. Hell, even Wilbur's brother's name's Jim. He worked for DuPont. It was the pride and joy of their town. It's how, like, everyone made their money. So, what the hell is DuPont Chemical? Well, DuPont, I'm keeping it simple, by the way. DuPont made some groundbreaking materials like the iconic Teflon, Mylar, and Lycra. Now, these names, they might sound familiar to you because, like, they're literally everywhere. Teflon is a coating that is used on non-stick pans to make them, you guessed it, you smart little cookie, non-sticky. It was groundbreaking when Teflon came into the market. Now, Lycra is basically spandex, also groundbreaking, okay? And it's used for sports, clothing, bathing suits, that kind of thing. Also changed lives. You know, all of your stretchy pants, Lycra. So they are constantly innovating new ways to make material that is not natural. But when making chemicals, the process creates a lot of highly toxic waste. The kind of waste that would make you melt, like in the movie Roger Rabbit, remember? Remember when that guy melts? I think it was the cartoons that melt in the tar or something, but it was terrifying as a kid. I was terrified of that. Anyways, that's what I think of the chemical waste does. Personal opinion, though. I don't know. Anyways, so why did DuPont Chemical want the land anyway? It turned out that DuPont used the Tennant farmland it bought as a landfill for the waste that was coming from its factory. People within the company, they named this area the Dry Run Landfill, which came from the name of the creek, the same creek that flowed into Wilbur Tennant's property, the same creek that these cows seemed to be dying by. Now, ain't that some shit? Turns out, DuPont put in a large pipe that was pumping waste into Wilbur's Creek. Not just any waste, it was chemical waste. That's right. Could you imagine? The Tennant family fully believed that DuPont was putting poison in the water or some kind of chemical was coming from their plant, and they had to know it. But over time, the family was getting more and more frustrated because no one seemed to care. No one seemed to show any interest as to what was happening. And a lot of people in the neighborhood, they rolled their eyes or ignored the family's claims because DuPont was, again, major for their town. Like, they didn't want to cause any drama, any problems between, you know, the town and DuPont. As far as they knew, it was between Wilbur and DuPont, and nobody wanted any business with that. You know, they didn't want to ruffle any feathers. So finally, somebody recommends an environmental lawyer to the Tennant family that they should contact. Now, this lawyer was like the grandson of someone's friend of a friend, and the Tennants go out on a limb and they hope that this guy will work with them. And shebang, that's how the Tennants meet attorney Rob Billet. And this is where things kick up a notch.
From Audioboom, that's Dark History. Get deep insight from one of the most insightful mystery and makeup madams, Bailey Sarin, with Dark History, available on the Start Here podcast collection at wvxu.org. Just look for the podcast menu item. As you probably know, June was Pride Month, and our local podcast this week celebrated with news stories and features of the LGBTQ plus community. It's Gay Shorts, a podcast created by a born and raised Cincinnatian, Madeline Cull. Gay Shorts is a limited series that dropped every Tuesday in June, but it's a great listen now and a perfect way if you're a straight person to learn about the struggles and joys of the queer community. Because, as Madeline says, the more we know about people who are different from us, the stronger our communities and our world will be. Here's a sample of an episode. In this clip, Madeline speaks with actress Christine Larrera about her new story play focused on growing up gay in a heavily Christian Mexican family.
I grew up super Christian. Like, think of the most Christian, going to church like 3 times a week, like being there for hours on end. Yeah.
Yeah, that's next level.
That was me.
Yeah.
Yep. And then add on to that. So like, I don't know how familiar you are with like the different denominations, but like I grew up Pentecostal apostolic. So it was like, you got to wear jean skirts, no makeup, your hair. Yeah. Like super culty, but like my family wasn't culty, if that makes sense. We just went.
Yeah. No, I get that.
So we moved to Rancho Cucamonga when I was 10 and I made a friend, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to call her Jessica. So her parents like went to Israel. So she stayed with us for a week because we went to the same high school. Our sleepovers had gotten like closer, right? Like closer than what normal best friend sleepovers were. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Use your imagination there, but like nothing crazy, right?
Yeah.
And so like me stupid, like one time we almost kissed. And I mean, I put that in the script and I was like, oh God, we got to pray. So like, I made us both get on our knees by the bed and I was like, we have to pray.
So
and
that really happened.
That really happened. Yeah. We had this weird relationship from like 15 to like 22, maybe, where it's like, we never talked about anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. We never talked about it. We would hold hands under the parkas at water polo games. We would like cuddle. Like one time my dad came home from work and we were like cuddled up and like he came home. So we quickly like pushed each other off. So like, we knew it wasn't like quote unquote normal or okay in our family.
Right. You felt some sort of shame if you pulled away from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like it's all we heard at church, right? Like in our family. I mean, Jesus Christ, I protested gay marriage at Chick-fil-A. Like
that's layered. That's
it's very, and it's something that I feel like a lot of Christian kids like grow up with, like gay Christian kids, like we don't know, like, we obviously learn to hate ourselves because, like, that's all we hear at church or we hear from our parents. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is bad. Like, I can't do this. It got to the point where my parents, being the strict Mexican parents they were, they're better now. My mom, she had gotten into my email at one point, and I guess she found an email between me and Jessica, right? And it was, like, very mild. It was like, I really loved holding your hand today in, like, AP English. It was really fun. Yeah, like, I hope we can do that again. And so my mom and dad, like, called me into the room, and they're like, mija, we need to have a talk. Like, we just don't want you going down, like, a certain path. We've had family members that almost became gay, and I was like, what? And so I, like, freaked out. I was like, no, like, we're besties. Like, this is what besties do, because obviously, like my flight or fight was activated at that point.
Right.
So, you know, that started my years of lying.
Because you're being told by the people that are raising you that what you're doing and who you are at your core isn't correct. And then then you have all these people affirming that for you and saying, yeah, that's true. Yeah. All these people in your church. And it's just like, that's a lot to deal with.
From the podcast, Gay Shorts, get insights into the struggles and joys of the LGBTQ+ community on our local spotlight, Gay Shorts, available from WVXU.org on the Start Here podcast collection. To the charts we go, our weekly look at the hottest podcasts in the nation, as ranked by iTunesCharts.net and on Apple Podcasts. Well, two podcasts have broken the logjam at the top of the charts. The first is Solvable by Audiochuck. It's a true crime podcast that takes you as a listener behind closed doors and speaks directly to the past and current personnel who are responsible for investigating these crimes. In addition, family members and others who are most impacted by these tragedies share their stories in hopes that answers will one day be found. A new twist on a proven genre. That's Solvable, number one in the Apple Podcast charts. And the other number one features Duluth, Minnesota photographer turned internet debunking superstar, Sharon McCann. She hosts Sharon Says So. She calls it nonpartisan, fact-based programming about the untold stories of America. That's Sharon Says So, number one on the Apple Podcast charts. To learn more about these podcasts and the others we featured today, check out the Start Here email. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and choose the Start Here newsletter from the bottom of the page. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more about other podcasts we like, check out the Start Here collection at wvxu.org. It's our new specially curated collection of podcasts we think you might enjoy. Plus, check out the local podcast collection, podcasts created right here in Cincinnati by our local creators. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org. I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.